We focus our attention this evening on our gospel reading from Matthew 8, where we hear about Jesus who is strong to save and to heal. You may be seated. Do you know what it's like to be kept at arm's length? I think we all kind of know what it's like to be at arm's length after 5 years ago, right? Lent 5 years ago was a hard time, wasn't it? COVID was just beginning. I was on vicarage, and all of our Lenten services were canceled. No Lenten meals in the fellowship hall. That was the worst part of it, right? But you knew what it was like to be at arm's length, because even one arm's length wasn't enough, was it? It had to be my arm's length and your arm's length, and then maybe you were 6 feet apart from each other. How hard was that time to be able to talk to people, maybe on the phone, but not to be able to be with them, to experience that physical touch that's so important to us? Being at arm's length is a hard thing, isn't it? And not just physically, but also figuratively as well. We can put other people at arm's length. In biblical times, lepers knew for sure what it was like to have to be at arm's length. And their arm's length wasn't 6 feet like it was with COVID. They had to stay outside of town, probably. They couldn't interact with anyone else who didn't have the same ailment that they did. Leprosy in the Bible is likely really just a catch-all for all sorts of skin diseases that included sores and other things on the skin. According to Leviticus, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothing and let the hair of their head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Those whose condition was persistent were forced to live outside of society and only with other lepers, at an arm's length and even more from everyone else. And in biblical times, lepers were physically ostracized. They were socially ostracized. They were even religiously ostracized. To have leprosy meant that you were essentially cut off from life as you knew it. Unclean, unclean had to be the cry out of your mouth anytime that you went near to anyone else. And if you were to make contact with a leprous person, you too then would be unclean. The general conclusion was that lepers must have done something to have brought that disease upon themselves. And furthermore, people would take the whole thing a step further to use their concerns for being unclean as justification for being uncompassionate towards those in need. Then we run into this man here in the gospel. To make contact with this man would have made anyone unclean. No one would have wanted to come near to this man, much less touch him. Now, make no mistake about it, Jesus was capable of healing this man in any way that he saw fit. In our Old Testament reading, the leprous man Naaman, a mighty commander of the army of the king of Syria, made his way to Elisha's house. And though Naaman wasn't concerned with Mosaic law at all, leprosy was still a great hindrance for him. Elisha didn't even come out to him, but he sent a servant with a command that Naaman go and wash in the Jordan River. And what did Naaman think about that? He saw it as an affront to his pride. But when he finally listened to that word that had been given to him, God healed him. It was what Naaman needed. His pride needed to be broken down in order for him to simply believe the word. Now, Jesus could have responded like Elisha. If he wanted, he only needed to say the word, and that leprous man in our reading would have been healed. And even in the text right after this one, Jesus healed that centurion's servant just by his words alone. He didn't even go to see that servant. He just said, "Let it be done," and it was done. And likewise, Jesus cleansed 10 lepers that we hear about in Luke 17. You know that story. And he sent them off to let the priest know, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And he did that with a word as well. The Lord is capable of healing in whatever manner he sees fit. But in tonight's text, this man first asks if the Lord is willing to heal him. Does Jesus want this man to be clean? That question goes right to the heart of our Lord. What does the Lord desire? And what does he do? He reaches out and he touches the man. There's no concern on Jesus' part about being unclean. And he says to him, after his request, he says, "I will." And then he says, "Be clean." Just like the healing of those 10 lepers, the power is in the command. Jesus says it and it is done. The power is in the word. But here the Lord combines that word with his touch. He doesn't need to do it, but he willingly and he compassionately reaches out and he touches that unclean man. Under the Torah, people with leprosy were unclean and needed to keep their distance. But Jesus' action here says that he is the source of what makes a person clean. The amazing thing is that when Jesus touches the unclean, it doesn't make Jesus unclean. The unclean becomes clean. Jesus is not deterred by any uncleanliness, by any disease, by any condition at all. There is no person that is untouchable. No person that's unreachable. Jesus doesn't keep people at arm's length. He reaches out and he touches them. Christ comes right to the sick. He comes to the outcast and the sinner. And he's not concerned about himself or his reputation among those who would distort the law into justification for their uncompassionate inaction and deeds. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and he shows us what it truly means to be clean before God. All throughout Scripture, the hand of our healing Lord shows us his compassion. He willingly takes the hand of Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever leaves her. And then he goes out and he heals many others as well. Matthew then echoes Isaiah 53 when he says, "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." There's this place in Eisenheim, France. And there's a medieval monastery that served as a hospital for people with skin conditions. And in that monastery, in that hospital, the artist Matthias Grunewald was commissioned to create an altarpiece. And when the leaves of that altarpiece, you know what an altarpiece is, we have one in the chapel over here, but most times the altarpiece is a triptych, So it's got three pieces, and then you can close the side pieces up. And when it's closed up, it shows the famous central scene of Jesus' contorted body on the cross. And while many are familiar with that painting, it's not often pointed out that the artist, that Grunewald, added a unique feature to this portrayal of Christ as a reminder for the patients at that hospital. He depicted Christ's body covered with many skin sores as a visual reminder for them that he took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. And when the people there at that hospital looked at that depiction of Christ, they were reminded that their Lord was with them in the midst of their afflictions. Jesus does not stay far removed from us. You're never too far away from Jesus' touch. Jesus is the great suffering servant who has come to us in our lowly estate. And he bore the effects of our fallen world. The fallenness of this world is the cause of all infirmities. It's the cause of all diseases in our world. Our sin has created a separation between us and a holy and righteous God. But the Father is still compassionate to us, even as we separate ourselves from him, and he's so compassionate that he sends to us his Son. Jesus willingly reached out to us in our sinful condition. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus healed that leprous man in our gospel, he demonstrated his compassion for all those who are far off. And the pinnacle of his compassion is shown in Christ's elevation upon the cross, where he took on the disease of our sin. In fact, all the healings that we have in Scripture point to Christ's identity and to the ultimate mission, which is to defeat sin, taking it all on the cross, and then rising on the third day to never die again. Indeed, the Lord can and he does work miracles of healing in this world. The Lord has not promised us that healing in this life is always going to come, but he does promise eternal healing. And that healing has begun for each and every one of us in the cleansing waters of holy baptism. Those waters are what heal sinners. So we hold fast to what he promises and entrust the rest into his compassionate care. Just as someone who is ill is in need of a physician, the sinner needs a savior. And that is just who we have in Christ Jesus. He's your Savior. He's the one who has taken your sin to the cross. And it doesn't matter the depth of your sin. You may be someone who's kept at arm's length here in this world, but that cannot keep your Lord's outstretched hand from touching your life. There is no place that you can go where he can't reach you. As David said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the outermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." No matter where you go, no matter how far away you are, or how unhealthy you may be, physically, socially, emotionally, spiritually, your Lord's outstretched hand is reaching out to you today and freely offering his words of eternal healing. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.